So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just good to hear from someone else sometimes. And it's good to hear a personal story, you know, to just know. I mean, the teachers are so faithful. They help so well Sunday after Sunday. But they may call on you for backup one of these days. And if they do, you'll know the meaning of fear and trembling. I found that the kids' prayer time is the one I have the hardest time getting volunteers for in the church, you know. let's pray again. Lord, as we look into your word, we pray just the moving of your spirit. Your wisdom, your love, attentiveness, to truly hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Carrie and I saw something amazing last Sunday after church. We were leaving El Corral restaurant on Hillendale Road there, corner of the shopping center, when we heard a strange noise. And as we got into the car, we realized it was the sound of someone choking. A guy was sitting outside at the Blue Olive restaurant, just, you know, at the end of the center, but it was that loud from if you know where the restaurants are, one distance to the other. And we got in the car, headed down in his direction, and saw, you know, sure enough, that's what was going on. He was sitting at one of the outside tables, bent over, retching, and just struggling for every breath. A piece of food had been lodged in his air passage, and he was terrified. I mean, you could tell by the look in his eyes. And Carrie immediately called 911, which was kind of frustrating because, you know, the operator kept saying, "What is the address?" And she said, "It is the Blue Olive Restaurant at the corner of Hillendale Road by 85 by Front Street." And what is the address? So while that's going on, I'd had some first aid training, but I wasn't confident enough to, you know, I didn't want to hurt the guy necessarily doing the Heimlich maneuver, so I asked, does anyone know how to do the Heimlich maneuver? And there was a guy standing right beside me who came up at that moment, and he began to perform the maneuver several times, over again. He had clearly done it before, and he was confident. He approached the man from behind, you know, basically grasped with his fist right here, lots of sharp pressure, and then the guy eventually began to cough it up. He bent him over, you know, hit him on the back, and eventually his air passage was cleared. The culprit was a large piece of shrimp, a good reminder to chew your food. But the man's life was saved. He could not breathe. He was dying. he was that close to going out. And moments later, God gave him a fresh opportunity at life. And you know what he did? I mean, moments later, you know what he did? Yeah, he started swearing a blue streak. He took God's name in vain. He threw in quite a bit more. And I thought, what? I mean, man, you are this close to meeting the one who gives you every breath face to face, and this is how you respond? Now, I know. When you're panicked, you can react in any number of ways. So I don't want to be overly judgmental, but it really was one of those things where you just stand there and you think, whoa, you know, what's wrong with this picture? "Thank you" would have sounded a whole lot better. thank you to the guy who had helped him, you know. But even after something like that, it's amazing how we can live with the misconception that life will always go on just as it has before. I mean, it really made me think about what a fragile, precious gift life is. And I left thinking about, man, I need to be more thankful for the countless things I enjoy. I mean, moment by moment, as I go through life, am I mindful? My clock's ticking. I only have so much time to live. My life is fragile. I had another reminder of that this week. I was just out working in the yard, and got some kind of, it was either a spider bite or a pin prick, I don't know. But whatever it was, the next morning my arm was swollen up, and I thought, what? I mean, I've kept bees for years. You know, go ahead and sting me, I'm fine. But something happened, and I ended up what's the term for it? Cellulitis, yeah. Yeah, and immediately had to go, I haven't been on antibiotics in 20 years. The doctor said, well, that's a good thing. You're antibiotically naive. I said, I'm naive about a lot of things. But, you know, she said, take a look. That's just a pinprick. And look at how it expanded to just about take up your whole forearm. Within a little over 24 hours. Think about that. And I thought about it. And it is amazing, isn't it? How just a microbe, the right place, the wrong time, can lay us low. Am I grateful for what I have? Am I most of all grateful for the gift of salvation? Because the unequivocal message of the Word of God is, I have been rescued. I owe a debt I could never repay. And that isn't over-the-top religious rhetoric. That is the truth of God's Word. And here it comes in Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, Paul writes, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has rescued you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As you read those words, is that your story? Do you see yourself that way? Rescued, brought from darkness into light. God's Word makes clear over and over again, this is why Jesus came. He didn't come to be a great moral teacher, although He was every bit that. He came to save us from our sins and from the darkness that dominates the world and is in each of us. I think about the Nuremberg war trials and a man who had suffered much, Elie Wiesel, wrote of seeing one of his persecutors in a concentration camp and how when he saw him, he wept. And someone asked him, why were you remembering what a monster he was? And he said, no, I realized he's a man just like I am. And that I'm capable of atrocities just as he. We're going to work our way briefly through these verses, backwards. We're going to start, why? Because it's Father's Day and we can. So, do you see what he's done for those? Let's just go ahead and read 13 and 14. Let's read it together. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you see what he's done for those who trust Jesus, who follow him? He's not only rescued us, he's restored us. And new life awaits. We are now in the kingdom of the Son he loves. Even now, see that? Brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. See the previous reference in verse 12. Holy people in the kingdom of light. He has already brought us into the kingdom of light. This is our birthright as a new creation in Jesus. We can spend the rest of our lives thanking God for it and discovering what it means, living into it. It's a practical reality. It goes to the depth of every moment of our lives. If we will go to him in it and lean into him in the moment, this goes right to the heart of what it means to live as a believer. Look at verse 12. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You and I can live with that awareness more and more. We haven't qualified ourselves. He's done it for us. We're not holy in ourselves. He's made us holy. That's the meaning of being rescued out of the dominion of darkness. And because he has done all this, we can thank him. We can thank him. And the truth is so simple that we often overlook it, don't we? The truth is that we often wander into other directions seeking, you know, to find our satisfaction in so many other things. When what God has offered us, what God gives us right here, if we will seek it quietly, it's worth everything. Look at verses 10 and 11. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now I know sometimes when Paul writes, he writes in a manner that seems almost theoretical, almost theological, often very theological. And we can read it and sort of, well, okay, that's nice for church. But practically speaking, how does this work? And what you have to understand is that Paul, when he wrote this, was on death row. Paul was under house arrest. Actually, at that point, no, he wasn't under house arrest. He was in the prison in Rome itself. He was allowed visitors. But what happened was, within just 2 years, Nero would have him executed. And because he had visitors, he knew what was going on in the world around him. There was a horrible persecution of Christians going on in Rome. Nero was famous for dipping them in tar and lighting them as torches in the streets. It's a historical fact. That's not being overly dramatic. All of this was going on at the time. And Paul writes, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him. You know, in spite of all of that stuff, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. In every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Somehow, even in that, God gave him strength. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that for what you and I face. Paul, under those circumstances, can say, this is what matters most. This is what I need most. And he shows us that our ultimate purpose is to live for this. You know, Paul never met the Christians in Colossae. Notice how he begins verse 9. Since the day we heard about you, we've never stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Man, that's a great prayer for someone. You know, if you're wanting someone to know Jesus better, just memorize that verse, Colossians 1:10. You know, it doesn't matter that he hasn't met them, because they already have what they need. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. They received the Spirit when they first believed. Last week we looked at how the peace Jesus gives through the Spirit washes us and makes us new and gives us a new identity. And we're welcomed into this kingdom of love where real change is possible. And it is the most beautiful thing in the world. Jesus is the ultimate reason for living, the greatest hope this world can ever know. And because he is love personified, for each of us, because he is our creator, he knows us like no one else. And he can help us in the most personal ways. Light that overcomes our greatest darkness, no matter what it may be. If you know him, if you love him, if you've trusted him, and he has rescued you, oh, you can celebrate him. Not because you have to, but because you want to. There's a story told about Abraham Lincoln. I think it's an apocryphal story, but he came upon a slave trading situation, and there was a beautiful African-American woman who was being offered on the auction block, and he bought her. And as he bought her, he said to her, "You're free to go." And she said, "Free? What does that mean?" He said, "You're free to go where you want, to do what you want to do." And she said, "I'm free to go." He said, "Yes, you are." And then she responded, "Then I think I'll go with you." Because you and I have been freed to live. You and I have been given this incredible living hope. That's what Paul calls it elsewhere. Born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. Made completely new. In the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus told, He is the Father who sees us when we're a long way off and runs to us when we admit our need for Him. And it's then, you know what happens next, right? There's a party. And some sour saints will say, oh, the Christian life isn't a party. We must take up our cross and follow. And yes, we must. But think about it. If from death row Paul could write about giving joyful thanks to the Father who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Man, I want to go there. I want to live there every day. Because what that says is that He is the party. Jesus is the party. And oh, don't miss that. Don't miss Him. Come to the party. Come to Him. No matter where you've been, He will welcome you and rescue you and restore you because He loves you more than life. And He has more than life waiting for you. This is the moment. He has given you this opportunity, this chance to begin again with Him. Take it. Cherish it. Cherish Him. And you'll never regret it. Life can begin again right here, right now, better than ever before with Him. May we pray. You know, it's amazing how in just a moment everything can change. Our external circumstances may not change, but suddenly within we change. And that's what the Word of God says, that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So, oh, if you've never come to Him, if you've never trusted Him, if you've been away and you need to come back, this is your moment. And through a simple act of faith, telling Him, Lord, I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You are good. I believe You are loving. And I believe that You came to take my sins away and to give me a new life, just like you've done for others. I believe that, Lord, and I ask that. I want to live in your kingdom. I want to live in your joy. I want to live with a thankful heart. Rescue me. Pray that from the heart. And oh, he will. Lean into him and you will find he is faithful. Lord, thank you for your kingdom of light. Thank you for what you save us from. That we can see your light in the darkness. How good you are. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.